peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 131. My name is Brooke Taylor. Super happy to be with you this week because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to bring you this week's program. But not only do we have a show for you, we have an extra treat. That is the lovely luminary, the one and only Lisa Hendy. She's currently in Nairobi, actually, as an ambassador for the ministry Unbound. But before she took off, we were able to meet, do a little late night hotel interview. And when I say late night, I mean like 9:30. So for both of us, we were tired, but it was wonderful. So I want to bring you that segment coming up. She has a few books to share that she recommends during Lent. Also great insight about our own formation as parents to better prepare our children for the things that they will face. And she also tells us the significance of 3:17, which is kind of fun. So we're going to get to that. Also, a brand new book from Dr. Scott Hahn. I have been poring over this, and I think it's groundbreaking. It's about marriage. It's called The First Society. So I received an advanced copy from Emmaus Road Publishing, and my husband and I just started reading it for Lent. So I think we're on like chapter two, but I want to crack it open, give you a sneak peek of what you can expect, and also share a special opportunity from St. Paul Center. Maybe you've heard about it, but we'll get to all that coming up. Matrimony is the gospel itself, good news for the world today. That is the opening message of the book, The First Society, The Sacrament of Matrimony and the Restoration of the Social Order. It's the full title from a soon-to-be-released book by Scott Hahn, best-selling author of 40-plus books. So he's covered the gamut, as we know, but this particular topic, talk about timely, is not only fantastic. And what's interesting for us personally is my husband and I were actually discerning what to do as a couple for Lent. We've got our own individual devotions, we've got our family prayers that we're doing and special things for Lent, but we also wanted to do something as a couple. And without hesitation, when we saw this book in the mail, we dug in the day it arrived, the night it arrived. And as you can kind of deduce by that and the title, we know the subject is marriage. But I also want to read one of the endorsements to give you a little bit of an extra understanding of what we're talking about. It's from Benjamin Wicker, or Wiker. I should know how to say that last name. He's a professor of political science and director of human life studies. But he says, he's at Franciscan Steubenville, and he says, please don't open The First Society expecting a timid sermon. Hahn does not shy away from the very direct criticism of secular liberalism as the culprit in undermining both marriage and the just social order. A secular view of marriage, claims Hahn, is as unworkable as a secular view of society. So you can see it's not just your average, you need to love your spouse and not criticize them kind of book. And those may have their place, but this takes, I think, a more deep and wide scholarly look and theological look at the sacrament, historical look as well, of marriage. So it really covers all of it on a deep level, but it's also easy to read because he does that. He has a knack for taking very heady topics and unpacking them in a way that come to life and that we can understand. And I think what's interesting about this book is we started reading it immediately following that horrific story out of Parkland, Florida, that tragedy, another school shooting, and the heartbreak collectively that we feel, another one of these tragedies for the communities, and what's happening with the poverty of the soul that so plagues our nation right now. And we can debate gun control, we can pass legislation, but none of that actually addresses the mental health or the heart health or the soul health of what we're dealing with and how we can fix it. And I think that's what's so frustrating for me as not only a journalist, but a mom and a Christian, is how seldom we really dig into the root of that. And that's what I love about this book. Because as I started it, I wasn't connecting the two at all. But as we began to get through the pages, I felt like a curtain was being pulled back on the answer. And don't mistake me, I am not in any way saying that we can take one thing and paint it with that brush and fix every situation. But the truth is that the wisdom that Dr. Han dispenses in this book, I think, is very needed and very eye-opening, not just for Catholics, but for everybody. I would say especially non-Catholics. But that's where he starts. In the introduction, there is a story about a professor, a Jesuit priest, who he had when he was a student in Milwaukee, and a moment in class where the priest said, and I'm reading this, if Catholics would simply live the sacrament of matrimony for one generation, we would witness a transformation of society and have a Christian culture. I feel like I need to just exhale and let that set for a moment. One generation, those living out the sacrament of matrimony, we would witness a transformation of society and have a Christian culture. So he draws a straight line directly from the sacrament of marriage to society and how it elevates all of human nature as a whole. And so you go into the micro of that, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, man and wife, and then you go into the macro where it broadens to community. And he says marriage is community in unity. And I was nodding vigorously up and down. I think it's chapter one where he goes into a story of heading home to where he lived near Pittsburgh and showing a friend where he grew up, where he spent his youth, and seeing all the churches and the pubs and how many of them are scarcely attended anymore, and how on every corner there used to be an Elk Lodge and a Knights of Columbus, and how we used to collectively just get together more in community and forge those bonds. He also shares a candid conversation with his wife about a worry that's very common. We've probably all said it, that she had. What kind of world are our kids going to inherit? And he said, well, it's not our job for us to give them the world. We give them our faith. And what they inherit is not the world, but it's the best of all we have to offer to form them, shape them, and pour into them. And so that's where you start, is what am I being called? What is my place in all of this? Now, we're only on chapter two, so I can't speak to the whole book. It's about 182 pages, 15 chapters. So far, I think it's fantastic. So again, it's called The First Society, The Sacrament of Matrimony and the Restoration of the Social Order. Expected to be released on April 1st, I think around that time. So around Easter time, fittingly enough. And best place, I think, is to check the St. Paul Center for more information. And while you're there, this is the other thing I wanted to tell you. If you're still looking for a study, there are two Bible studies at the website you can do for free. I think it's normally like an $80 value. But it's being streamed. It started Ash Wednesday, but there will be lessons every week on the website. It's the St. Paul Center. It's Saint, which is ST, stpaulcenter.com/Lent2018. So you should be able to find it there. But a lot of good stuff, and you can reach out to them for more information. Well, a big, big thank you to Julie, Christina, Angela, Mary Jo, so many lovely ladies that are Good Things Radio listeners and friends, sister friends, who said hello at the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference over the weekend. We were 3,500 people strong, and it definitely puts a holy wind in your sail, too. And I know being there, you feel it, too. And I've said it before, it's always interesting when you're in a place like that, there's like an electricity that you feel. It's like being at a concert or a football game, except this is even better because there's mass and there was adoration. But then there's also an intimacy that happens. Like at the end, we had adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and to see Father go around the entire expo center and allow women to touch the hem of his golden vestments was just truly humbling and beautiful. The speakers were great. We had Daria Little. She has a book called From Islam to Christ. And I think the book actually sold out because we wanted to hear her speak all day. And what I think is so unique about her story is sometimes you'll hear about someone who has gone from atheism to Christianity or from
Islam to Christianity or Protestantism, but she's done it all. She was born Muslim and then became atheist, and then from there converted to Christianity, and then finally home to the Catholic Church. So she was fantastic sharing that story. There was Father Ignatius Mazanowski, a priest from the Order of the Franciscans of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that had the tears flowing. He has a gift for healing, and he shared a really beautiful story of his niece, Joy Loboda. You may have seen their story went viral about Matt and Kristen Loboda and the miracle healing of their daughter that I think still continues to astound people. So he was there, and then Uju Iekiocha, she is an African pro-life leader, a powerful force, who wrote an open letter to Melinda Gates after the Gates Foundation went public saying that they would be sending birth control and, I'm doing air quotes now, family planning goods to Africa. And she has since been to the UN. She advises in Parliament. She lives in the UK on matters of life and being pro-life. So really powerful witnesses. And then our sweet friend Lisa Hendy, she was the first speaker of the day. And we actually had a chance to connect and to visit a little bit. And I wanted to just turn the recorder on and bring you into that visit and share kind of what's going on in her life, what books she's reading right now for Lent, and some of the insights that she has as we walk through this season together. So I want to share that with you now. Take a listen. Well, I'm very excited to have the providential pit stop of connecting in person with Lisa Hendy. Hi.
Hey, I'm virtual hugs.
Yes, it's true because we FaceTimed before.
I know. We never get to do this in person. It's so fun and so awesome. So
and the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference is the occasion. And I know I say providential's pit stop because we are kind of suspended. You were somewhere yesterday. You're going somewhere tomorrow. And in this time and place, we've been able to connect. So it's really exciting to be able to see you as you prepare to present at the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. About 3,500 women from
You're
all over.
You're trying to make me nervous, Brooke.
You are
Ironically,
a pro.
Ironically, what is the title? Be Brave.
Yeah, that's it. It is. But it's also Lent, and so we want to go there as well.
Us. No. No, it is, and it's so fun to be with you. I think we were together in person about 2 years ago at your first retreat, and to mm-hmm. see how your ministry has grown since then. I mean, you can just look at the Holy Spirit and see God is just so good to us, Brooke, and I just feel so blessed. I mean, and the fact that we can have this friendship in Christ that, you know, despite the fact that we don't get to see each other very often, we're co-workers in the vineyard, so it's great to be with you.
And it's about community, and that's Absolutely. What, no matter what stage of life we're in, we were talking about that a little bit, the journey of motherhood taking us through different twists and turns, also the journey of holy matrimony and being married and you missing your husband and me sharing a little bit about my friend Linda, who is such a dear friend of the podcast as well. And I want to pause and reflect, given all that, and what has the Lord for you been doing in your life? I know that our audience is very familiar with you. I'm trying to grab all the different things out of the air that are floating. Could it be the books that you've written, the talks that you've given, the trips that you've taken to the Vatican and different places on behalf of writers and our faith? So I know you're preparing to go to Africa, another adventure, but what do you see as you take an examination of your heart? There's so much going on in the world, in our own homes. What's the Lord doing in your life lately?
It's interesting, Brooke, that I think during Lent we have this idea, we see a lot of desert imagery, and it's interesting to me that in a way my heart kind of longs for that desert, but my body is called into this very active ministry. So like you, I would love nothing more than to curl up with my Bible or in front of the Adoration Chapel, in front of the Tabernacle, and just to have a very quiet Lent. But this year, my Lent is very different. It's in many different places, and it's with the tremendous opportunity to minister to a lot of people, and I recognize that for the great, amazing blessing that it is. It's a challenge because it also means that, like, the type A in me would like to say, okay, well, it's Lent and I'm going to do XYZ and this is what each day is going to look like and what I'll be eating and, you know, where I'll be praying. And the reality of this Lent for me is that I'll eat what's put in front of me And that I will be grateful for that, and that I'll pray wherever God puts me whenever I can, because right now I'm really on the go, and that's a gift.
Well, I think you really touched on something that hits a nerve for a lot of us, and Father Jacques Philippe calls it the other life, and I don't know that you would qualify it that much, but it's the fact that if we only had this tool or this ability or this physical asset on, you know, with us, that we would be able to fully live out day to day all that we're called to do. He reminds us that whatever we lack, God never leaves us in lack of himself. And so with all the different places that you're being sent out, you must see that. I mean, you're going to be going into the heart of Africa and ministering and seeing him in the face of these smiles. And so are you seeing that in your busyness, in your fatigue, in your traveling, or is it hard? Where do you catch those moments of contemplation?
Well, I have to say that I'm one who, it's interesting being a writer, because I think writers are by their very nature very introverted. Mm-hmm. And so we long for sort of this interior life and silence. And
you want to sit on a hill and gaze at the clouds and be able to.
Frankly, I want to sit at the beach. With my laptop. I've been known to do that. But that's not what God has for me right now. And the beauty of what I'm getting to do is to see this big, beautiful, diverse, crazy, human-filled church, and to recognize that church is not my parish in LA or the women at this conference or the families that I'll meet in Africa and Kenya. We're so diverse and so different, but then at the same time we have this core belief that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. And I can go to Mass in Swahili and recognize the exact moment at which Christ becomes truly present. So I may not know all the words to the songs, but the universal nature of our church is underscored for me every time I'm in a new community and I don't know a soul, but we instantly are the body of Christ together.
And that living liturgy. We, again, talking about Lent, and one book that you might be able to recommend, are you able to read? You're on a plane a lot, or are you just writing?
Thank goodness for my Kindle. No, I would always rather read books, so definitely Choose Joy. I would say if you're going to pick up one book for Lent, it should be Choose Joy, because the theme there, I think, is so significant. A lot of us think of sort of the sackcloth and ashes of Lent, but in reality, it's so exciting that we're preparing our hearts to receive Jesus at Easter, to celebrate his resurrection. And so that's a joyful moment. So definitely Choose Joy. Can I say two others?
Yes, yes.
So I'm really enjoying reading Above All, which is from Take Up and Read, and praying with that. And I'd say that even if you're listening to this into your Lenten journey, that Above All would be significant for you at any time. This is a great devotional study that really breaks open the Lectio Divina process. So if you haven't done that before, that's a great, great resource. And then 40 Days to Healing, I just recently interviewed the author for that book, Ken Kniepman, for my show. And it was kind of not really on my radar, but I love that little Lenten devotional. And the fact that you can read it in 3 minutes or you can take an hour with each day to really see this as a time of healing of some of the woundedness in our hearts that separates us from God. That along with the sacrament of reconciliation, there's work that we can do seeking the virtues in our life and eliminating those sins that we know separate us from God. So that's a good one.
I think we're going to just be hearing more about healing, whether it's mental health or heart issues. Not that that's anything new, but maybe it's just the stage that I'm in where I'm talking to more and more moms who, whether it's a teenage son and they're dealing with mental illness or just the instability of all the things that our culture is throwing at our kids in this toxic way, and alarm bells are ringing. And how can we save the minds, the hearts, and the souls of our kids? And I think that healing is where it comes in. And it's just tough. Navigating the teenage years is so tough anyway, but because so many of these things are unprecedented, there wasn't Snapchat even 10 years ago. And now that seems to be one of the fastest growing platforms. And I feel like I'm somewhat in the know with social media, but my kids every day tell me I'm old and I can't figure it out. And, and it's in some ways it's true. I feel like I have to be a hacker because kids can have different accounts under different names. In talking to other moms, that has come to the surface more than once, that healing that It needs to be in our families and in our homes, which is, of course, the foundation of our culture.
It's an interesting thing when we bring up this topic of technology or very kind of time-oriented things that are happening now, that the root cause of a lot of this is sinful behavior. And so while technology may change over time and we can't necessarily control, like robots, our children's choices, so I always talk with parents about, you know, forming our children's consciences, but also working on forming our own consciences, that when we recognize problems in the world around us, none of us live on an island. We're called out into a world to be active and present. And while we'd love to kind of maybe hide our children or ourselves away, that's not real life. And so, you know, how do we kind of look at helping to form our kids' consciences, especially forming our own consciences? And I think that in terms of healing and what this book does is really to look at, you know, what are the root causes of the things that separate us from God? Always going back to those virtues, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, to kind of call us into deeper relationship with Jesus.
And that is a constant. It's an everyday thing. What about saints? One saint that you feel close to lately? You wrote a book on saints for moms, and yeah. I know that, at least for me, it seems like sometimes a saint will find me just as much as I'll seek them out. And that happened with Saint Philomena and different ones along the way, where you know you have a friend. So has there been anyone in all the studying and traveling that you've done that you feel like, I think they're journeying with me, or that you just see in a special way?
Never ask a writer who's written a book about saints or a children's series about saints to actually give you their favorite saint, because I'll be like, well, on Monday we have...
That's true.
Like, I love all of them, but two are very close to my heart always. So the first is Saint Patrick, who I would have been named for had I been a boy. My dad is a Patrick, and we have a thing in our family that if you look at the clock and it's 3:17, either a.m. or p.m., we pray for our family. And I'll tell you, now that you've heard that, you'll look at the clock many times, and please pray for me if you see 3:17. I love Saint Patrick's. I love his conversion of heart. I love the fearfulness with which he went back to Ireland to spread the gospel. I love the fact that he was, you know, that he wasn't perfect. I love that he wrote his confessio, his autobiography, that what we know of him, we know from that document. And he's real clear about the sin in his life. And so it just gives me hope that I, a big fat sinner, can maybe one day be like him. And then the other side of the coin is my beloved Saint Therese of Lisieux. If you think she's too sticky sweet and you haven't read Story of the Soul, I just ask you to put her into the context of this amazing woman, a doctor of the church, a cloistered young woman who is the missionary, this patron saint of missionaries, that for those of us for whom our primary mission field is our homes, she gives me great hope that small things done with great love can and will change our world.
That is beautiful, and the sacred in the ordinary. And as we wrap up, I wanted to just ask about your podcasts. You told me as we were coming back about a couple different, and then I just filed it in my brain as I'll ask more about it later.
There's a podcast.
But you know, the good thing is a lot of times the listeners will say, I'm looking for a new podcast or a good podcast. So you've got a couple actually right now.
So, you know, Brooke, I actually was in kind of the first wave of podcast dinosaurs back in the pioneer age. So I had my first podcast starting in 2008, and it was called Catholic Moments. And that podcast ran for about 3 years, and was directly the vehicle to the books that I've written. So, but then I hung up my podcasting microphone.
Is that in your Wikipedia?
I don't have a Wikipedia.
Oh, so we got to get you a Wikipedia.
I didn't know that.
But Catholic Moments really was the door that opened to me writing my first book, because it was through an interview that I conducted for my podcast that my publisher heard that and came. Wow. looking for me, and that led to my first book. But that was many years ago, and now here we are, what, 10 years later, and I'm again podcasting with a show called Lisa Hendy and Friends, because my life now is filled with all kinds of amazing friends like you, and I'm in my happy place when I can share with my friends great things that are happening. So on that show, you might hear an author like Brooke Taylor, or you might hear me interviewing a Hollywood celebrity or director, or you might go on a journey with me to Kenya. My life is different every week, and to share that in this, I think podcasting is a very intimate forum.
Yeah.
And so it's like my friends are coming along with me wherever I am.
Whoever. And that's Lisa Hendy and Friends, right? Once a week, or how often?
Just about once a week right now. I'm really happy to be affiliated with Breadbox Media.
Oh, yeah.
And so now the show can be heard, of course, on iTunes and all the regular places. I just learned today that it's up on iHeartRadio, which is really a thrill.
Yeah.
And so just wherever you listen to podcasts, just look for Lisa Hendy and Friends.
And the dynamic Danielle Bean, you guys pairing.
Yeah. So I'm really happy that this summer CatholicMom.com became officially a part of Holy Cross Family Ministries. And I've kind of like stepped away from the day-to-day running of the website. And now Danielle Bean, our good friend, is in that role. And she's doing an amazing job. And she's heading up a new show that we're doing together, which is called the Catholic Mom Cast. And
oh, that's
it's
going
to be, And we had a contest for that, and that was our new the name. So really, it's going to be just a weekly conversation, often featuring Danielle and I, but also others as well that we'll interview. And that's by the time this airs, it'll be probably coming out about a week from now. So
Okay. Look
for it.
A little bit of trivia: when Good Things Radio was launching, it was almost called Saints in Sweatpants. But Jennifer Willits asked that. She said, no, that's way too frumpy. I'm like, no, but you're the saint on the sweatpants. So anyway.
I'm looking at you and I do not think sweatpants when I look at you, honey.
But the truth is, we spend our days in the home and that's the wardrobe. So, but I think Good Things Radio is fine. And I love the mom cast. That's perfect. So we'll catch it. We can find you, I know, online. You're on social media. You're on Facebook. You're on everything. And how can we pray for you with your trip?
Oh, yes, thank you. So like I mentioned, that I'm going with Unbound to Kenya. So definitely, if you could just pray, first of all, for safety for the people in Kenya, that they have peace and healing. They've had recent elections, and we just always pray for peaceful transition of leadership. And just for the families that we're going there to meet. It's interesting with these trips that I'll be traveling into some very poor communities, but I'm never cease to be amazed by their hospitality, their warm welcome, the fact that they want to feed you from the little that they have, and that they welcome you into your home. It's a real reminder to me that I think, oh, I can't invite a friend over for coffee unless things look just right. No. Have a friend over, sit over a cup of coffee and chat. And just to realize that each of us can be an answer to bringing our world closer to the vision that God has for us, that the world is ultimately a very small place, and that Jesus gave us this great commission to spread his love. And so however we do it, whether it's by washing the dishes really well or folding laundry and praying over our kids' feet while we try to match their socks, or whether it's writing or podcasting or whatever we do, that God has put us there in a unique position. So I just ask listeners to pray that I'll do whatever God has me doing, that I'll do it with a pure heart and for him.
We will. Thank you. Thank you for all you do for women and for our faith. And we will pray for you when we see 3:17 on the clock.
God bless you. Thank you, Brooke.
Thanks, Lisa. Wow. Good stuff. Thank you. As always, so fantastic to catch up with Lisa. So thank you again to Lisa. You can catch her podcasts, her books, easy to find, and also on social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. You can find her just Lisa Hendy, short and sweet. Well, friends, I hope you have a wonderful week. I am sending grateful salutations to Joan of Arc Church in Cleveland, Ohio. I am so excited to go in and speak to the kids. They have a really cool event called Breakfast of Champions, and they connect with notable people in the community, who come in and speak to the middle schoolers about their own faith journey, their own testimony. So I'll be going in to talk to those kiddos this week. Really, really excited to do that, as well as Saints Cosmas and Damien Church in Twinsburg, Ohio, their Women's Day of Reflection. So blessings and greetings as I prepare for that. Would so much appreciate your prayers to do the will of the Lord. A big thank you, as always, for supporting this program, for listening and being there, and also very often sharing your feedback. Any notes on today's show, you can reach out at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also via Voxer. I love the audio. I don't get it nearly enough. And I totally overreact when you send me a voice message because it's just so nice to hear your voice. So you can reach me there if you have the free app called Voxer, Brooke Taylor and the number one. And of course, you can also find me on social media as well. God bless you and keep you as we go out into the desert with this time with our Lord. There will be times of temptation. There will be times of renewal and growth, and we celebrate all that is to come. A big thanks to my producer, Mark Cumming from CummingHomeStudio.com, for his quick work and dynamic skills. He wears many hats and is a producer extraordinaire. So for any audio production needs you might have, you can check him out at CummingHomeStudio.com. God bless you and keep you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.